This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Shay Robbins.
Today we continue with that series in part four. We're talking about the millennial kingdom. And I'm here to tell you after the last couple weeks, it's been heavy and today is joyful. I kind of got stuck with the fun part of the story, and I'm excited to share that with you today. So we're going to talk about the millennial kingdom, and we're going to answer three questions very specifically. Number one, what is the millennial kingdom? Number two, why is the millennial kingdom an important part of God's plan? And then number three, what is the role of Christians in the millennial kingdom? We're in an election season, and I've been here at Woodland Hills now for 20 years. I moved here in 2005 and started attending church here, started helping out with the youth group when we'd meet over at the YMCA. And over those 20 years, as I've kind of been studying and preparing for this message, I feel like this might be the most political message that I've ever heard at Woodland Hills Family Church. How many of your heart constricts when I say that? Anybody? I had some in the front row that were hooping and hollering. They were really excited about it at the first service. But we are going to talk politics because God's kingdom is going to be a government like none other. When I was in my 20s, I was one of those young men that could care less about politics. I didn't bother to vote. I didn't really think that my vote mattered. To be honest, I was single, and so I had some other things that I needed to pursue that took all of my attention. And so I just didn't care. We had a couple kids and show up in the 30s, and I began to think a little bit differently because I realized one day soon these kids are going to be out of my control, out of the reign of my government, and they're going to be out in the world. And I became much more concerned with the structure that they would be living within. And now even in my 40s, I've got an opinion. I'm eager to vote. I study the issues. I'm watching economics. Like, all of these things matter more and more because I've got these kids and I'm launching them out, and I feel some measure of stewardship over what we have. And I'm here to tell you, I love the United States of America. I love this country. But I'm also here to tell you that we're broken, right? We're broken, and I want to be very careful that we don't put our hope in policy, in a party, in a politician, because according to the timeline of Scripture, this thing is broken. And the United States is not our great hope. And if we put our hope in any of those things, guess what? We're going to be let down. But the beauty of today's message is that there is a government that is unflappable. It is unstoppable. It is pure. It is holy. It is perfect. And it will be a beautiful part of each one of our stories. In fact, like as God writes the story of your life, the millennial kingdom is a part of it for those of you who have placed your trust in Jesus. We need to know where we've come from and where we're going, and that's why today's conversation is important. Now, as I talk about, you know, our country, like, I love our freedoms. I love entrepreneurship. I love watching people go out and live out dreams and start companies and hire people and build cultures. I've got a bunch of friends, even in our community, that have launched businesses this year, and I just, like, am enthralled. Like, I'm just cheering them on in what they're doing. I love it. We also are in a unique place that frankly cashes in on our religious freedom. When school gets started, go to the various restaurants around this town before school and work, and guess what you're going to find all over this city and all over kind of our area? You're going to find Bible studies. I mean, all over the place. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for our right to bear arms. You know what I'm talking about, Bruce? Old lightning and thunder? Stay out of the storm, bro. There are some great things about America. And granted, we all know it's a broken system. But there are some great things. We get to experience freedom on a daily basis. But I'm here to tell you, if you were to just boil down all the greatest parts, if you were to sift out all the mess, all the greatest parts of America represent but a glimmer of how good the millennial kingdom will be. You tracking with me? That's what we're talking about today, is what you have to look forward to as a part of God's plan. All right, on to our first question. What is the millennial kingdom? I want to take you to a familiar verse. It's one that comes up every Christmas. And interestingly, as I've been studying the millennial kingdom, I've been studying it for a while, I keep running into these Christmas verses, right? Verses we associate with Christmas. So many of them actually are speaking prophetically into the millennial kingdom that we look forward to. Isaiah 9, 2 through 7 talks about that specifically. In this passage, it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace." Is that good news? So, I want to connect with some of you. Over the last year, I have been probably as anxious as I have been in my whole life. In fact, I have to look back to my sophomore year of high school when some girl broke up with me to remember like this level of anxiety. So my emotional state is essentially like a pubescent teenage boy is what you could associate me with. But I've been going through a season of transition, and I just have been anxious. And there has been many nights where I've been unable to fall asleep. There's been many mornings that I'll wake up and I'll go sit on our porch. And many mornings over the last year, you would see me sitting in my rocking chair with my face in my hands. It's just been a grind. And there's probably some percentage of us sitting in here now who are walking through that too. 100% of us sitting in here watching online, you've experienced that before because it's a part of this broken human condition. But for the last year, it's been tough sledding personally. And as I was studying the millennial kingdom, it's kind of funny, Adam was given like 16 chapters of Revelation or something to cover in one Sunday. He did a great job. I've been given 10 verses, which is, I don't know, maybe that says a lot about me, kind of like where I fit in this. But I got my 10 verses. But the Old Testament is chock full of commentary on these 10 verses. Right? It puts the meat on the bones of what we know about the millennial kingdom from what John wrote in the book of Revelation. And on Tuesday, I've been studying for months, but on Tuesday I ran into Isaiah 35 at one of these moments where my face is in my hands. And I want to encourage you with it today. Isaiah 35 is a passage where God is prophetically speaking through Isaiah to show us what the millennial kingdom will be like when Jesus sits on the throne. Starts off this way. "The wilderness and the desert will be glad." This hit me in a moment in my life where I just feel like I've been in the wilderness. And I read that first verse. "The wilderness and the desert will be glad." And God filled my heart with hope. Enough hope to go out and live another day with a full heart and full of endurance. Isaiah 35, it goes on, and I'm going to hit just some of the, some bullet points. It says that the wilderness and the desert will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shouts of joy. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with an anxious heart, take courage and fear not. Behold, your God will come. Then the eyes of the blind will be open. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. The scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. And a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy on their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I have good news, church. The millennial kingdom will be marked by gladness, flourishing, and joy. Remember what I said earlier. The millennial kingdom, for those who are followers of Jesus, it's a part of your story. You get to personalize this. The millennial kingdom, this part of your story, will be marked by gladness, flourishing, and joy. So where does this fit in the overall timeline? Ted used this very simple timeline a couple weeks ago, and I want to bring it back up just to kind of reset the stage. We're currently living in the church age, and according to Matthew 25, like birth pangs, things are going to get worse. Right? That's why we don't put our hope in a politician, in a party in the United States. Things are going to get worse. And there will be a great day where Jesus comes and he raptures the church. He takes those who are living and those who have deceased, and he brings them up to heaven with him. And at that time, the influence that has restrained evil will be removed. For the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, a world leader will rise up, the Antichrist, and he will win over the world with peace. He will make peace with Jerusalem. And just when the whole world has been deceived at the 3.5 year point, he will take his seat on the throne in the temple as God himself. It's called the apostasy, the abomination of desolation. And at that point, literal all hell will break loose on earth. During this 7 year tribulation, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, many of them who have rejected Jesus as Messiah throughout the centuries, many of them will come to Jesus in great revival. I believe that they'll be revived because they have the scriptures. Their hearts have been calloused. Their eyes have been blind to the Old Testament scriptures pointing to Jesus Christ as their Messiah, the Savior of the world, and their hearts will be awakened. Then all of those who are raptured and raised from the dead, all of the saints of all time, that includes us who are seated in here, who have a relationship with Christ, will come riding in behind Jesus on white horses. And all the armies of the earth will gather together, and Jesus himself will strike them all down with the sword that comes from his mouth. The Antichrist and his religious leader or political leader will be thrown in the lake of fire, and Satan himself will be thrown in the abyss and locked away for 1,000 years as a part of God's plan. And during that 1,000 years, Jesus will take his rightful seat on the throne of David, and he will righteously rule over the earth for 1,000 years with his saints. Those that lived through the tribulation and gave their hearts to Christ, human beings in the flesh will live and they will have children throughout the millennial kingdom and they will experience great flourishing. But during that season, those that are born to those that live through the tribulation, gave their hearts to Christ, some of those will stray, even under the righteous rule of Christ. And at the end of this 1,000-year reign, according to God's plan, He will release Satan one last time, who will deceive the nations and gather up the armies. They'll march on Jerusalem one last time. And an act of justice fire will rain from heaven and consume the armies of the earth, and we'll enter in to our eternal state following the great white throne judgment. It's easy, right? It's just Revelation. It's no big deal. Okay? I don't know why you're all struggling with this. Okay? So, that's awesome. We're going to turn to Revelation 20. And I want to take the 10 verses that I've been entrusted with. And we're going to read through these 10 verses. And we're going to see what John has to say about this millennial time. Millennial 1,000-year reign of Jesus. Let me wet my whistle here. All right, here we go. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he should no longer deceive the nations. Right? So in the millennial kingdom, Satan and his agents, they will be bound, and the deception that came from him will be removed from the earth. He won't deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years are completed, and after these things, he must be released for a short time. This raises a question for me. Why? Like, why do we have to do this? And we're going to get in. This is going to be one of the questions that we answer, is why the millennial kingdom is an important part of God's plan. We're going to get to that. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark upon their forehead or upon their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So during that 7-year tribulation, there was many that were martyred, that came to Christ, that died during that tribulation season. And when Jesus comes back, he raises them to reign with him in eternity along with the rest of his saints. The rest of the dead. So the only dead that are left at this point are the wicked dead who have not turned their hearts to Christ. They died separated from God. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This was the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who takes part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Here's how it ends. And when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. That's an Old Testament reference to the nations that rebel from God, to gather them together for war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city, Jerusalem. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And finally, verse 10, and the devil was the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet also are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is an important distinction, that Satan is not going to be the Lord of hell. He's going to be tortured in hell. There will be eternal punishment for him, the beast, and the false prophet. So back to this question, why is the millennial kingdom an important part of God's plan? Abraham, God used a man named Abraham in the Old Testament, and he gave him a special promise. We call it the Abrahamic covenant. The word covenant is simply the word promise. So he gave Abraham a promise of three things: land, seed, and blessing. So he says, I'm going to give you a promised land that I have set apart for you. I'm going to give you a people that are going to be many, many, many over the centuries. And then I'm going to bless you. My hand, I have a special plan for this nation, and my hand is going to be upon you. Land, seed, and blessing. And in Jeremiah 31, 33, Jeremiah writes, and he's speaking of the millennial kingdom, and he is telling the Jewish people that there is a new covenant and a new promise that God is going to follow through on his promises. Let me remind you that I am a God that follows through on my promises. And I want to show you three promises that God made to Israel that are very special and that he's going to follow through on. And you can see here that while Israel, in large part, has rejected Jesus as the Messiah, they go through this tribulation season, and in large part, the nation is restored through a revival to Jesus. And in the millennial kingdom, they're going to get to experience many of these promises that have yet to be fulfilled as part of God's plan. So here's the first promise. God promised Israel they would dwell in the promised land. Now, interesting, I did not know this until I was studying it over the last couple months, that in Genesis 18, God, he describes the promised land. So he gives very specifics. This is the land that I want you to dwell in. And it is far-reaching land, bigger than what I had remembered. But the specific land, it covers from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates, Israel, Palestine, Lebanon, Jordan, and parts of Syria and Iraq. It's a large expanse. And the promised land has never been fully indwelled by the people of Israel. It's a promise that has not yet been fulfilled in its entirety. And God has promised that the nation of Israel will get to live that out and live in the promised land. Here's the next one. God promised the nations of the world they would live in peace under the reign of Jesus. Daniel prophesies about Jesus, about the Messiah, the anointed one that would come and reign and sit on the throne of David. And he said that there will be everlasting peace under his reign. That's a promise that we have yet to fulfill through Jesus. And then finally, God promised that the curse would be lifted. All promises that have been given to the nation of Israel that will be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. Dr. David Jeremiah, a guy who's way smarter than I am. I was about to say way more smarter. That's classic. I should have just ran with it. All right? This guy's way more smarter than I am. Here's what he said. The main purpose of Jesus' 1,000-year reign is to fulfill the prophecies given to Israel and the promises made to Jesus, the nations, and the whole earth. God's covenants were voluntary and one-sided. He promised he would bless Israel and restore the world in specific ways, and he will. So here's our next question. What will the role of Christians be in the millennial kingdom? So I was thinking about just how important purpose is living on earth today. A lot of the despondency and the despair and the lack of direction and the apathy that we see in people today is because they're living without any purpose. They're chasing down all these worldly pursuits, only coming to find that they're coming up empty. It's because they live without purpose. And interestingly, our purpose does not end when we die. In fact, as a part of God's plan, he has a specific roles that we will get to fulfill in the millennial kingdom. You'll have purpose that you specifically are gifted for, charged with, and empowered to do in the millennial kingdom. And to me, that's exciting. When I actually am covered head to toe in poison ivy right now. Loving it. I'm loving the curse, okay? But the reason I'm covered in poison ivy is because over the last couple weeks, I've cleared out a pasture that was overgrown. So I had a mini excavator, and I was like living my best life on that thing, just covered in dust, you know, in my eyes and my ears and, you know, sweaty as absolute mess. And I had just completely tore this place apart, had massive bonfires, massive, but they were, you know, relatively safe. For our firemen, everybody's getting panicky in here. They have since smoldered out. But while they're smoldering, I'm sitting over and looking at like all I have done over the last couple weeks. Aaron, there's this tremendous satisfaction. The pasture west of my house is my favorite pasture in the whole world. And the reason it's so satisfying is because I worked for it. That was land that I labored over. I was steward over, and I have poison ivy, and it was hard, and it was broken, but there's still some sweet satisfaction. Well, I'm here to tell you, in the millennial kingdom, like that satisfaction, I believe, is going to be multiplied beyond what you can, your wildest dreams. God has a plan for you, and it does not stop in this lifetime. Let me rip through some of these specific expectations that you can have of the millennial kingdom. Number one, reigning with Christ. 2 Timothy 2:12, for those who have been in the grind, I want to encourage you that Paul tells Timothy, it says, if we endure, we will also reign. If you endure with him in this life, you will also reign with him in the life to come. That's good news. And in Luke chapter 19, Jesus tells the parable of a servant or of a master that leaves his servant in charge of some of his money. And some make 10%, some make 20%, some make 100%. Another one squanders it, just buried it under a rock out of fear. And he says to him who is faithful in a little, he or she will also be entrusted with much. In other words, the endurance that you show in this lifetime, God's going to honor it with responsibility and favor in the life to come. Judging the nations. Paul says to the Corinthian church, he said, do not know that you will be judges of the world? In other words, there will be a righteous judicial system. Anybody look forward to that? There will be a righteous judicial system. And I'd be willing to bet there'll be a number of you in here that will be specifically charged as judges under Jesus himself, who sits on the throne and judges in righteousness. The next one, there will be priests of God. This one I love. So there will be generations that are born during the millennial kingdom. They'll get to experience the blessings of living under Jesus, but they'll each have a faith decision to make. And I believe that the priests of God and the ministers of God will have a responsibility to care for, love, and to minister to those people. And I would be willing to bet that the priests and the ministers of God in the millennial kingdom might surprise you who they are. I wouldn't expect a bunch of pastors. Some of the best priests and ministers around here, the ones that are waiting behind the counter or working at the hospital, working at nursing home. I mean, I just can't imagine like the people that will be elevated and given a role and a responsibility to go for Jesus to say, I want you to go do my ministry. The next one, enjoying the blessings of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15, you'll receive an imperishable body. So all the ails of this world will be gone. It says that the sting from death will be removed. And in the millennial kingdom, there will be unbelievable, unadulterated joy. Next one. We'll get to participate in the restoration of creation. I want to read this passage from Romans chapter 8. It says this, creation will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The way that I understand that is that we're going to have a responsibility of taking this broken earth that's been polluted and poorly managed, and we're going to, with Jesus's instruction, we're going to bring it back to life. We're going to reintroduce it to flourishing. I can't imagine all the ways that that'll happen, but I expect that there'll be a great adventure in seeing creation restored according to God's plan. And then finally, preparing for the eternal state. I'm not going to steal all of Ted's thunder, but if you guys continue to read through Revelation in study for next week, you're going to find out that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the sheer size, magnitude, and grandeur of the new heaven, it's very hard to understand, like, how massive it is. But I think it's going to take 1,000 years for our architects, our builders, our engineers, with Christ's supervision, to build this magnificent eternal city. I think we're going to have a role to play in this transition from brokenness to beauty. We'll be preparing for the eternal state. So here's my final charge for today. And this really goes out to the guy or the gal who can identify with the rocking chair on my front porch with your face buried in your hands. There's a catchy saying, when in doubt, zoom out. And I want to encourage you that it is okay to dream of the millennial kingdom. It's okay to long for it. It's okay to anticipate it. It's okay to crave it. Because when we zoom out and we look at God's plan for our life and the beauty that He has for you, you can take your face out of your palm and you look and the difficulties that the day presents, they're put in proper perspective. And I got to tell you, even as recent as Tuesday morning, God gave me the perspective to endure with a happy heart. And I think it might be good to do this on a daily basis. Because the days that are in front of us, doggone it, they're just hard, are they not? We need a godly perspective. And what I want you to know this morning as you're walking out of here is, number one, that God loves you. He sees you right where you're at. He knows your aches, your pains, your worries, your concerns, your frustrations, your depression, your negativity, whatever it might be. Like, he can see all of those things and they matter to Him. And finally, He has a plan for your life. He has a plan and a purpose for today, for you, and every day that comes after that, and then even beyond that. Part of His plan for your life is perfect and complete redemption in every way. There's one phrase I want to end on that came up over and over again throughout my scriptures as I've been studying. It's this: enter into the joy of your Lord. We have plenty of reason to rejoice, church. Is God good? Yes. Indeed He is. All right, if you would you guys stand with me and let's pray together. Please pray with me. Lord, we just come to You and I thank You, God, for so much hope that is set before us. We thank You, God, for our anchor in Jesus. No matter the storms that are raging around us, God, we are anchored in You. We stand on the 1,000-foot bedrock of Your word, Lord Jesus. I want to pray encouragement over the body of Christ that stands before us today. Bless them in the name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.